right the wrongs.
I'm sorry, I'm just picturing Judge Judy now.
Do you think Rat Buddies has a character of her?
Should. Oh, man.
The Thunder bore two sons. One he named after himself, the other after the fathers before him, because ego was generational. The Thunder lived wild and free to the fullest, laughed louder than doctrine, and when he vanished in a fist-pumping celebration, he left us, his unqualified, unstable sons, to figure it all out. Welcome to the Sons of Thunder podcast, where healing sounds like laughter, heresy is accidental, and joy is our end-time survival strategy. Strap in, say a prayer, and try not to get stuck in the truths that hit harder than a youth camp altar call. Now, let's dive in with joy as our protest. What do we want to do now? You want to talk about the episode?
Sure. My mascara's running.
Oh, gosh.
Our makeup artist did not do a good enough job.
Yeah. Dang it, Glenn.
Glenn's got such soft hands.
All right. Welcome back to the Sons of Thunder podcast. You may, if you're listening on audio, you may have heard we actually do have real sponsors. We do not get to choose which sponsor goes with each episode. That's our producer. But we are very thankful for our sponsors that pay us. And if you want your company or your name mentioned on our podcast, you can sponsor yourself.
Can we give names and then they have to just pay us?
I'm not sure if that works or not.
All right, David Gant. So
he owes us money for slinkies and all kinds of stuff. Hey.
You didn't really win anything. So
it's actually a lot. If you win one of our giveaways, you actually lose is what happens.
Introducing Cutlery by Ehud, the only line of kitchen knives inspired by the stealthy, gut-punching craftsmanship of Israel's favorite left-handed judge. Whether you're slicing brisket, dicing onions, or delivering a message to a wicked king, Cutlery by Ehud will get the job done deeply. These precision-forged blades are double-edged, conceal-ready, and dishwasher-safe. Each knife comes with a thigh holster for discreet dinner prep. And an Old Testament guarantee. Slice and dice or we refund the price. So don't get stuck using dull kitchenware. Get biblical with Cutlery by Ehud. Because sometimes dinner deserves a dagger.
I guess if you ever, like, listen, I'll tell you one thing that's really hard to cut. And that's fat. Yeah. Not with Cutlery by Ehud.
No.
You can cut right through the fat. So what do you want to talk about today, Joseph?
I would like to talk about...
You sent me a message, and so I put some notes together. We'll see what happens.
Will you let me finish?
No. Get on with it. It's hot in this room.
Ehud.
Ehud.
Is... let me... Dang it!
Ehud?
That's all I'm gonna, okay.
The whole episode's going to be me interrupting you.
And done. I'm good now. Go ahead.
I don't have anything. You said you were bringing the episode this week.
What?
You said you wanted to talk about Ehud and you had all kinds of stuff to talk about.
I don't have all kinds of stuff to talk about.
Which, by the way, his name is spelled E-H-U-D. And depending on how you look it up to Ehud? Pronounce it, a lot of people will say it's Ehud.
Ehud?
Ehud.
I'm going to call him Ehud because it's stuck in my head like that.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, people, my name's Joseph and they call me like Jordan. It's a completely different name, but I mean, I'll still answer.
Whatever works.
I wonder if Ehud would still answer.
Is speaking of Ehud, mm-hmm. Let's talk about him.
So there's a day coming up. I'm going to go ahead and give a spoiler alert. There's a day to celebrate.
A national holiday.
National Left-Handers Day. And that's what sparked. I'm like, man, mm-hmm. Let's find somebody in the Bible who's left-handed.
Okay.
So obviously, Ehud was, not obviously, I hate when people do that.
Nobody knows who Ehud is. Yeah. And we're like, obviously, you guys know this.
Especially since we're probably butchering his name. Ehud, it's like Samson. It's like Samson? Samson. Ehud was one of the second judge in the book of Judges.
Okay.
And he is like I feel so connected to him in, for one sense, like he's one of those guys, like, what can I do? I have nothing to offer. And then somebody's like, all right, but like, what do you bring to the table? He's like, I can write with my left hand. And they're like, deal. Yeah. I'm going to use this guy to deliver the children of Israel.
Yes. His story is found in Judges chapter 3.
Okay.
You don't know. You just assume. Yeah, sure. Yeah, his story is found in Judges 3. He is left-handed, which is kind of his thing.
It is Judges, but I wrote Genesis. I don't know why I had Genesis on the mind. Okay. But I know it is Judges. He's right.
We can fact check it. See.
Fact check it. Open up your Bible.
It is in Judges 3. His story, what's ironic about him, he's from the tribe of?
Benjamin. And I'm really not good with names.
What does Benjamin's name mean? His name means son of the right hand.
The right hand, yeah.
And it's left-handed.
I wonder if that was just Jacob. Benjamin was one of Jacob's sons. He's like, I've had too many kids.
The one of my right hand.
It's like the one of my, he's over here. And he's like, but dad, I'm left-handed. From me, the mirror, it looks like it's your right hand. I'm sorry, I got confused.
Yeah.
He's old.
So Ehud, left-handed guy out of the son of the right-hand tribe.
Now, I've read that specifically about Ehud, like the Benjamites are known for being left-handed and right, like they can use either hand well.
Ambidextrous. Or is it amphibious?
It's both. I think he's very amphibious. Yes. I remember hearing a story from our grandfather, but I'm not going to share that right now. Anyways, so, but the Ehud specifically was kind of mentioned as he's left-handed, but he was not ambidextrous. He couldn't use his right hand as well. It was almost like he was disabled in his right hand. He could only use his left hand.
Yes.
Which is even more amazing that.
Yes.
Like this guy, but.
The way that it says left-handed in the scripture, the Hebrew term of that is like a disability, unable to use right hand in certain ways and certain fashions. Yes.
Borderline, like whoever, like the writer is making fun of Ehud. Yes. It's like, look at this lefty. Yeah.
He's disabled.
Yeah. Like Phil Mickelson in golf. I'm just kidding. I've seen him hit right-handed.
That's why he's not. Yeah. Okay. Keep going.
So one of my personal favorite commentators is Warren Wiersbe. Love Warren Wiersbe.
Great guy.
The whole book of Judges. When he's writing through this, he kind of talks about the whole thing. He says, Wiersbe says, somewhere the system broke down. That is why there was a need for judges. So he says, he thinks it was with the priests and the parents. So when I first read that, I was like, man, that's the whole reason Ehud had to come into the picture is because the priests and the parents weren't doing what they were supposed to do.
If there's ever a judge that appears or a prophet that appears, there's problems in the land.
You're probably not parenting correctly.
Correct. Because that God had to send somebody to fix something. This is God's fixer.
Yeah. It had to be left-handed.
Left-handed. Left-handed fixer.
So.
Yeah. There is no king in Israel at this time, right? There's no king. Everybody does what's right in their own eyes, as it says in the end of the book of Judges. Like, people are just doing what they think they're supposed to do.
And as you read, you realize people don't know what they need to be doing.
They don't know what they
need. They're really not good.
Correct.
You leave us to our own devices, you end up with a podcast.
Yeah.
It's not a good idea for anybody.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But the crazy thing is, like, in this time, it was the place of Moab was, they were the conquering nation. So Moab was a conquering nation, but you look back, Moab was actually a descendant. They're related.
Yes.
The Israelites and the Moabites are related.
Yes.
So that's insane.
Sure.
I'm not asking.
No. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. I will say just a couple things going on. So whenever you told me we were going to talk about Ehud, I thought, well, I'll pull up some old sermons I'd done and some old research I'd done. So here's kind of what's going on in history, right? There's no king in Israel. Israel is still kind of tribal. And so they're still, what you would consider decentralized.
Okay.
Right. So, and they have a little bit of spiritual forgetfulness, we'll say.
Okay.
It's inconsistent.
Amnesia.
Due to inconsistencies. Israel keeps falling away from the Lord And they keep, it's like they forget what God says before, right? It's like,
thank goodness that doesn't happen today. You know what I'm saying?
Thank goodness. They're in the land. The Canaanites are still in the land because of some.
After God said,
get rid of them, they didn't.
They're like,
they said, we can live with the enemy.
Yeah. Yeah. That always works out.
Works out with me today. Yeah. Right? I can live with the enemy.
Okay.
Isn't it? Not my family.
Okay, I didn't know where you were going with that.
I was just saying, like, spiritually.
Okay.
Spiritually. When we allow things into our life that are enemy focused, we're allowing the enemy to live with us, right?
Right.
Israelites they fall into this cycle, and it's a cycle that's they get into sin, they get into oppression or slavery, and then they get into this moment where they cry out to God, "Help us. Why are we here? Help us. I don't understand." And then God will raise up a judge.
Right.
And then after that judge raised up, the judge will bring in like peace. A judge is not someone that sits with a gavel.
Judge Judy.
Yeah, it's not Judge Judy.
I don't know. Judge Judy may have been. She could have been a judge.
She had some energy. But these judges were people that would come in and right the wrongs.
I'm sorry. I'm just picturing Judge Judy now.
Do you think Rat Buddies, that's a character of her?
Should. Oh, man.
So anyway, in the middle of this, here's a little world history for you. Egypt is weakened because it's post-Exodus, right? The Hittite Empire is crumbling a little bit. Assyria and Babylon aren't dominant yet, so they're about to be dominant in the coming years. Moab, the east of the Dead Sea, they do take advantage of Israel's spiritual weakness and occupy the territory with the Ammonites and the Amalekites, which is where the biggest issues were.
And also, just a real quick
Man, people history. Can learn stuff from our podcast.
We
should change our category that you can find us into education.
Why are you putting air quotes around?
We have categories.
Okay. I don't understand.
If you're using them wrong. If somebody's looking for our podcast, they go and search a category. I want educational podcast. We should pop up. We're very educational.
There you go. Now it makes sense. Yeah. Well, I mean, I started deep diving a little bit before Ehud enters the picture. And like I talked about with Moab, in Genesis chapter 19, verses 36 and 38, you hear how Moab came into the scene.
That's why you were thinking Genesis earlier.
I wrote Genesis and I was like already there. I was excited. So here's the thing. God already destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, completely destroyed. Mm-hmm. Lot is escaping and his wife, everybody knows, his wife's like, they're like, hey, don't turn around and look. She's like, look at why, and turns around.
She's salty.
Oof, turns into a pillar of salt.
That's a salty woman.
She is a salty woman. Why is this thing like wrapped around my neck? Okay. I don't know how to wear headphones. You think after a few episodes in, I'd be like, this thing is like joking me.
A few episodes later, you're just like,
So God's already destroyed.
You should watch this on YouTube. Don't just listen to this.
No.
You need to see this.
You
action.
Really do. There's been people like, man, we listened to you. I was like, I don't know if that's.
Yeah.
Like, you need to see.
You need to see this.
You need to see what's happening.
And if you're watching on YouTube, you need to go listen. Because that's where the real sponsors actually
correct. Are. And also, if you're listening, finish it and then go and then watch it. Anyways, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Then, so mm-hmm. Lot escaped. His mm-hmm. wife perishes. He lives in a cave with his two daughters.
Okay.
And you already know where this is going. So Lot's oldest daughter.
I want to hear this from you. What you're going to say.
I could just imagine that angel. What's happening? What are they doing?
People need to read the Bible.
They do. Lot's oldest daughter was talking to her younger sister and said, hey, our dad is now without an heir. So you know what's about to happen just from... I mean, you're like, there's no way.
This has got to be the paid subscription version of your...
It does. But I mean, you know what?
It's the Bible.
It is the Bible. So Lot's daughter ends up having a child who she names Moab. And it's the father of the Moabite people. She had a baby? Had a baby with her drunken father.
Okay, okay.
So you ever think your family's messed up? It's legit, read the Bible. Oh my goodness. But then you also hear about great things that happened through in the land of Moab. I mean, Ruth comes from Moab.
Yeah.
Amazing things. But That's not even that. It escalates because after the oldest daughter said that, she looked at the youngest daughter and said, "Your turn." So disgusting. Again, you think your family's messed up? Read the Bible.
I thought we were talking about Ehud, man.
We are talking about Ehud because this is like Lot is the nephew of Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob.
Yep.
Jacob's son, Benjamin. Ehud came from the line of Benjamin.
Yep.
Then
yep.
The Moabites came from that. Same family.
Yep.
Kept it a little too close to the family.
Trace back those roots.
And then the youngest daughter, I mean, it was the Ammonites. So yeah. All these people are coming up against the Israelites,
mm-hmm.
and it's like it's messed up. So again, it's not just like some foreign country coming to invade.
Right.
This is cousins.
Really close cousins.
Really awkwardly close cousins.
Yeah.
Everybody knows the stories too. So gross. Anyways, so I didn't mean for that to sound like it's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible.
Read the Bible. Read Genesis chapter 19.
And you
19.
Get a little bit better idea of where we're headed.
Yes.
And like how things escalate the way they do. Everybody's got family drama.
Yeah. And Eglon, like he knew what was going on in his family. So he's like, I'm just
who's Eglon? What do you mean Eglon?
That's the first time.
That's the first time you've said his name.
What?
Who's Eglon?
Eglon is
new
the
character in the story.
New character. He is not a wrath buddy.
No.
He would not be a thunder buddy. He would not like us.
He is the recipient of a wrath buddy.
Tail end. The butt end of her.
Yeah. So here's what happens. Israel does evil in the sight of the Lord again.
Yes. And what happens is God allows Moab, the people of Moab, mm-hmm. to come and conquer Israel.
Yep.
And their leader, their king, is a man named Eglon. Eglon's known for one specific feature.
Yes.
I mean,
he has a very, very descriptive feature.
Depending on what translation you're reading out of.
Yeah.
Eglon fatty.
Big boy.
Eglon big boy.
Big boy. You know what I'm saying? I wonder what the Message version says about that.
Type below, comment below what the Message version says about that. That would be great. Eglon equals big boy.
Yeah. He was morbidly obese.
Eglon want ribs. So anyways, it says, and so Eglon, again, king of Moab, they are ruling over the people of Israel, and God raises up Ehud. And again, yes. What's Ehud's best quality?
He has a deformity in his right hand.
Yes, and he can probably throw a little bit better than me left-handed.
If you
we
ever
are feel, in the same room!
If you ever feel like you are angry, if you're ever angry, I saw this great clip. We years and years ago, we used to do this thing called the mighty left-handed throw.
If I can find a video, I'll share it.
We'll see if we can put it on our socials.
I was much younger.
If you're ever really, really angry, mm-hmm. the best thing to do is not yell at somebody. It's not get mad. It's not get angry. It's throw something with your non-dominant hand as far as you possibly can.
Don't just like throw it. Heave it.
Full body.
Full body.
I will sometimes on the golf course, if I ever hit a drive and it's not good, I'll pick up my tee and I will throw it left-handed as hard as I can toward my golf bag, wherever it is, within a cart or whatever. And the people around me, I won't tell them I'm doing it. And they'll be like, what are you doing? I'm like, get my mental stuff like prepared again because I was angry. And now I'm not angry anymore.
And that's the best way of getting in your opponent's head.
It is.
Because they're like, he was.
You're like, obviously I'm left-handed and I'm playing right-handed. So
he was ferocious throwing that too.
Ferocious. So in this scene, Moab is reigning over Israel. They're oppressing them. Their oppression is very cruel. It's very humiliating, and which is, you know, kind of symbolic of how Israel's, you know, they were against what the Lord wanted.
Yeah, Moab's backstory is kind of messed up too. Moab, so they're like, stop reminding us.
Right. yeah. So they prayed, begged God for somebody to deliver them. Ehud is raised up. He has a strong left hand.
That's it. God's like, I'm going to use you because you have a strong left hand.
Yes.
And Ehud doesn't, like, you don't hear anywhere about him questioning it. He rolls with it. He's like, okay.
In the story, you know, I want to think about, so first off, he said yes. Ehud agreed.
Yes.
That's the first step in the process of obedience to seeing something great happen. If he didn't agree, I think God would have gone to somebody else, you know, and then Ehud would have missed out on the blessing. When I get to heaven, I can't wait to shake his hand.
Left-handed.
Left-handed. I'm going to walk up and it's going to be like, hey, I'm Ehud. And I'm going to be like, Yeah. I got you.
I don't trust you fully.
I got you. Yeah. Let me check your right thigh because there's something in there.
So what happens in this is he makes a dagger.
Yep.
18 inches long. It's a cubit long.
1 cubit long.
When we went to the Creation Museum, there
great
was
great place. Wish they would sponsor.
Wish they would too. They're probably not going to sponsor us. Really wish they would.
We're sponsoring them.
We're going to sponsor them. They probably don't want that either. So we had, we went through because Noah's measurements were all in cubits.
Yes.
So they had this stick.
Yep.
That Moses used this stick. This
it's
one.
The one he used.
It was packaged up with like 30 others, but I'm pretty sure this is the one he used.
Yes.
I use this.
That is 1 cubit.
This is 1 cubit. So imagine he made a dagger this long.
Yep.
And he approached the king of Moab. Mm-hmm. Again, this is the enemy approaching they're approaching their enemy.
Yes.
And so here's my question to you. How on earth would he smuggle a dagger this size past guards into the room of the king?
Right.
Undetected. And you're like, what happened?
And they do search him.
They search him. But God's like, hey, here's something crazy. He's left-handed. You say that in like today's society, like, oh, it's all fine. He's left-handed. It's like, what?
Yeah. There's some great people. I know great people that are left-handed.
My daughter is. She's the only one I know.
She's the only left-handed person you know.
Yeah.
try not to associate with left-handed people.
No.
Because
of this.
So his decision was, he says he makes this dagger.
Right.
And then he straps it to his
I wasn't allowed to have a real sword.
Yeah, that's as sharp as Joseph can handle.
Shrack.
Otherwise, he cuts himself. He strapped it onto his inner of his right thigh. Because if he's going to get it, he's easier to get it with just that way. Because you don't,
again, that's,
you don't like reach in to get to get that. But
yeah, ow, I hit.
That's why Joseph can't have sharp things. And so the guards wouldn't search there because the guards wouldn't. That's not where you would have a dagger specifically if you were going in to do something. It wouldn't be a threat. And this guy,
right?
And I'm also thinking like this guy. If the Hebrew term of the left-handed word is correct, that means he did have some type of disability in his right arm, and so he would be no threat anyway, right? Because if his right arm had no, you know, could have no hand on it. I mean, it could be, it's one of the terms that it could be. So
I feel like he did though, because they would still have checked his left leg. Like, why would they check their left leg if he didn't have
right? Correct.
That would be a little weird. Yeah. But what happened is,
you know what that is? What's the word I'm looking for? That is a
brilliant
textbook.
Thought.
No, it's a textbook policy failure.
It really is.
Right. They're like, oh, the policy is we check this out.
Honestly, it could have been then.
It really could have been. Really could have been.
But so what happened? God raised him up and said, hey, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to deliver you. And the fact how I'm going to deliver you is I'm going to send you with tribute to Eglon.
Yes.
This fatty.
Yes.
this really fat man.
With tribute.
It's like, man, okay, whoa, whoa, whoa. And that's what we do now. I mean, God's like, here's how I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to let you do this. And it's like, whoa, but that's the opposite of what we should be doing, which implies we know more than God.
Right.
So if you read the story, though, understand that this is another reason these stories are in here, so that God can show us he is way smarter than we are.
Yeah.
So he sends a tribute, and obviously he's like, hey, Ehud, you're a lefty. I want you to take it.
Mm-hmm.
Ehud never questions. Nope. He just goes and does
it. He just obeys immediately.
And so real quick, I want to, there's one little section on here that I just loved. I had to share because this is how I thought, I feel this situation happens. There's no, so it says, he presented a tribute to Eglon, king of Moab.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Eglon, and it even says in verse 17, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, Eglon was a very fat man. The fact that that's how you're remembered in scripture,
yes.
It's like, yeah, he was king, but he was a really fat man. You may think that's inappropriate. You can't say stuff like that. Read your Bible.
Yeah.
It's like you think,
I don't think you can say stuff like that.
But I'm just God reading. Says God said, I'm reading what he wrote.
Yeah.
Like that's the other thing. He says, Eglon was a very fat man. It's like, oh, cool. It says, and when Ehud had finished presenting the tribute, he sent away the people who carried the tribute. So there's more people, but he's like, hey, go on. You're good.
Mm-hmm.
But he himself turned back at the idols near Gilgal and said, I have a secret message for you, O king. and he commanded silence, and all his attendants went out of his presence.
Did you know, hang on, before you finish, when he says, I have a secret message, do you know that word message in the Hebrew? It means, it could mean one of two things.
Okay. Oh, this is going to make my comment even better. I guarantee it.
It means one of two things. Message could either be translated as, I have a word for you.
Okay.
Or, I have a thing for you. Like a gift.
Okay.
Like I've got something I want to give you.
Got some baby back ribs over there, dude.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, so what he says, I've got a secret message for you. He could have said literally, I've got a secret gift to give you.
Hey, Eglon, I got some candy. Eglon, get out of the room, guys. No, I'm thinking in my head, I'm thinking, okay, so either way, he's like, I got a gift for you. And he's like, me num nums. Or
yeah.
Eglon was just really big into the juicy gossip. You know what I'm saying? He's like, I got a message for you. He's like, oh, do tell. That's what I'm thinking. So everybody gets out of the room, and Ehud is standing there now. He's like, Eglon. I wonder if he's like the whole time, he's like, this is too easy.
I thought I was going to have to be like stealthy or something.
He's like, hey, I have a message for you. He's like, everybody out. And he's like,
no witnesses? Really?
I had 30 more plans here. And God's like, I already had this set up.
This king is dumb. He is dumb. He's hungry. And it's time for to eat.
I also wonder if Eglon like rolled himself in some kind of like bacon grease or something.
He's like, well, I will say, so we talk about how fat he was, right? And the Bible says how fat he is. I don't think anything's in the Bible by accident. We think it's all in there by purpose. And I do think that it is, again, symbolic of everything in the Old Testament symbolizes and helps us reveal truth in the New Testament and the gospel and all that. But I think that it also pictures, like, Moab was all about excess, all about more than you could possibly ever want. And I think that's why it says he was fat. Like, he indulged, right? The indulgences just kept on and kept on and kept on. And so God is in this, it almost reads like a Babylon Bee story.
It really does.
You know what I'm saying? And I think it's like God's satire of like, I'm going to deliver Israel, but I'm going to do it in the best way possible.
It's going to be hilarious.
So,
I mean, and that's what I'm thinking too, because it says in verse 20, and Ehud came to him as he was sitting alone in his cool roof chamber, and Ehud said, I have a message from God to you. So I looked more into that, like, the people of Moab at this time, they're obviously here, and this could potentially be debatable. Yeah. They are not servants of the Most High God.
Right.
Another reason I know that is because in Ruth chapter 1, it says that when this happened during the time of Judges.
Yeah.
When Naomi went with her husband to Moab.
Yep.
And Ruth was a Moabite woman, and then she said, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God.
It was not the God of the Moabites,
which implies that's not the same God that I serve. I mean, I've read more into what kind of gods they served, and I'm like, I didn't write it down.
It was weird. It was weird.
It's not the same. So when he says that, I have a message from God to you. It says he arose.
Yes.
Like, do you think he was afraid? Like, he was going to try to get him out of the room? hang on, Ehud.
Yeah. I have a delivery from Raven Rush. It's a different time.
Different time period, but I mean, it's still available.
Still available.
God
still
did
available.
All sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
I wonder if Ehud's like, I have this whole cutlery set. You'll be dying to see it.
A fashionista. So what happens next? Eglon gets up.
Ehud's like, hey, I wonder if he reaches, like, pretending to shake his hand. He's like, you still don't get it. So then he reaches to his right thigh.
Yep.
And pulls out a cubit long dagger.
Dagger, yes.
And immediately plunges it. I don't know if that's the sound of it. Right.
I hope not.
Straight into his innards.
Yep. Into his belly.
Yes.
And the dagger,
it disappeared.
It went all the way. Hold that up again. That's how deep. You're going to have to hold it like vertical because it won't even fit in the screen. That's how deep it went into his belly.
I mean, it's hitting the chair now.
And it says that
I'm a pretty big guy. And this is like, look at this, man.
And the handle is, everything's sunken into his to his belly.
I wonder if Ehud was so excited. You know, he's now, this is my left hand. He grabs it in. He's like, yeah, no, my dagger.
I made that. Yeah. He assassinates the king. Then he locks the door.
This gets even better. You think, oh, wow, that was insane. It gets better.
Insane story. He locks the door and secretly escapes out the back.
Right. The whole time. So there's guards. First off, we know they did not do their job very well.
They did not.
They go in and they'll pat down your left leg. They're like, no dagger. And Ehud's like, nice to meet you. I wonder if he shakes with his left hand. They're like, protocol, bro. Left leg.
Yeah.
Left leg's good. Because if you're a normal right-handed person, you'd reach in with your right hand to your left leg to pull it out.
Yes.
So obviously Ehud's
reversed. If you're concealing a weapon.
Yes. So that's why they'll pat you down.
Yeah.
They're like, standard protocol. Let me just, there's one guy he's sitting on that side. The other guy's like high-fiving him. It's to go in. Like, hey, yeah, thanks for the grapes. So there's guards now standing outside. Mm-hmm. But I want, again, Ehud's standing there. He's like, I got a secret message for you. And he locks the door. And Eglon the whole time is like, peanut butter.
Yeah. I want the good gossip.
I want the juicy stuff. And then that's when Ehud jabs the dagger in and then escapes.
Yep.
The doors are still locked.
Doors are locked.
Eglon's dead.
So what are the guards? Hey, Joseph, what are the guards doing?
The guards are out. They're probably out there and they're like, hey, man, you want to play a game? He's like, sure. What else are we going to do? It's like, oh, one more time.
Oh, one more time.
Oh, I win! Win. Yeah. You know what? Eglon's been in there for a minute.
Yeah.
With that, you know, with what that Benjamite, like,
yeah, he's, you know where he's at. You know, old King, you know, King Eggy.
You know how he be, just you know, be pooping.
He's on the toilet.
He be pooping.
That's what the guards really thought.
Legit. It's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible. They're they like, thought he was in the bathroom.
You know what?
That long.
He's probably, and then this is where it gets really like, he's been in there an embarrassing amount of time.
Yeah, that's what they say. That is what they say.
It's like, they're like, it's like, and then one of the guys is like so into the game because he's like, dude, I've got you. Like, I've beat you 17 times. It's like, the other guy's like, okay, but seriously, he's been in there for a minute. We probably need to check on this.
Let's check on him. Let's just check on him.
So they're like, oh man, this is awkward. Let's open the door and check on him. So they open the door.
Yep. And here's the thing. Why they waited a while, because Ehud escaped,
right,
and was like gone, like they couldn't find him anymore. They were like, where did this guy, where did the Benjamite go, where did the right-handed guy go, because he's right. A Benjamite, right? So where did he go? And it really does, the way it reads is kind of intense, because then there's more that happens then.
Well, hold the first thing here in verse 25, it says, and they waited till they were embarrassed. Not we're afraid that Eglon's going to be embarrassed. It's like, I'm a little bit embarrassed.
That this is my king, and he's been in here for a long time.
Ehud, and he's like, hey, Ehud, stay right there while I do what I do. He's like, this is, okay. So they were embarrassed.
Yep. It
says, but when they still did not open the doors of the roof chamber, they took the key and opened them. Again, could you imagine? He's like, hey, Eglon, I'm not looking. I'm coming in,
we're
Eglon.
Just checking.
You know, it had to smell.
It had to.
So they're like, oh, this is going to be awkward.
Yes.
Eglon, whoa, Eglon. Oh, Eglon. Okay.
Yeah. So then what happens after Ehud, he leaves?
Yes.
And then he blows a trumpet.
He goes straight down. It says, when he arrived, he sounded the trumpet in the hill country of Ephraim. Then the people of Israel went down with him from the hill country, and he was their leader.
Yes.
So he wasn't their leader before, it sounds like. Just some random left-handed dude.
Yeah. So how weird would that be? If he comes up, he's like, hey, guys, I'm going to go kill the king.
Okay.
And they're like, all right,
what are you going to do, lefty? Like Phil Mickelson winning the Masters. Hope he watches this.
Yeah. So there was he led a surprise attack, and 10,000 Moabites were slaughtered. No survivors. Because Ehud's a bad dude. He says, I'm going to get it done.
Everybody's making fun of me for being left-handed.
Yeah.
And I just lost my favorite dagger.
I lost my favorite dagger. So he leaves no one alive.
So the crazy thing is, too, Moab was ruling over Israel for 18 years. But after Ehud stepped up it says Israel had peace for 80 years.
80 years.
That is insane. And that's because one guy said, I have nothing to offer. And God said, what do you mean? I made you left-handed. That's nuts.
That is nuts. I will say that every time there's numbers in the Bible, the biblical numerology stuff really is amazing.
Yeah, you're a dork.
80 years is like multiple. I love it. I geek out. 80 years.
Nerd!
80 years is the implication of
hadn't done that yet. He can't even afford to drink.
Nobody's sponsoring us. So I have no drink. I'll put it back down.
Don't fall.
Almost dropped. It's like the fall off the table. The 80 years, it's a symbol of multi-generations.
Ooh.
So because of one man's obedience, multiple generations had peace. Imagine if you could be that person that had the obedience that multiple generations in your family could have peace.
It's like, what do I have to offer? You have amazing shirts.
You have shirts that are...
I said amazing. Let it be.
Let it be. Ehud he is remembered as one of the early, most memorable judges. There's a little bit in his story that it's like, reads like a spy novel or something.
It really does, like a comic spy novel.
You read it and you hear the story and you're like, okay, he's left-handed, he stabbed a king, the dagger's gone. You know, everybody thought the king was going to the bathroom. Then he escapes.
Dude, and 18 inches worth of a dagger.
That's how much fat and
organs. That's how much the actual dagger part was, the sword part.
Yeah, the handle?
The handle, I don't know how long.
Who knows?
And it went in too.
Right.
Where he swallowed it up. He couldn't even find it. He's like, I wonder if it was like immediately after he stabs, he's like, huh.
What am I going to do now? I think, here's the.
I shouldn't have autographed it.
I signed it.
He's like, he makes it, it sketches Ehud. He's like, oh man.
Lost his favorite dagger.
They're going to find me now.
I wonder if, come find me. We read it. I think about, this is a real story.
Yeah.
It really happened.
Yep.
Ehud had to go into the king's chamber with a dagger strapped to him.
Which if he was caught.
Dead.
I mean,
gone, like immediately killed.
He would be,
And he still had the faith to do it. Do hard things. If the Lord tells you to do it, to go for it. So you think about his like heart rate, right? His blood pressure as he's walking in there. He's a real person. He walks into a room. He finally gets in and he's like, okay, I'm sweating. He's like, okay, King, I have a special message for you. And the king's like, let's do it. I approve.
Have you ever seen Parks and Rec?
Yes, I love Parks and Recreation.
Hey, you know when Ben is trying to punk everybody and trying to pull a prank?
And gosh, I'm trying to think about that.
There's an episode where he's like, hey guys, come on. It's in the parking lot. Let's go, but leave your phones here. That's how I would have been.
I do remember that,
The whole time I would have been like, they're like, so, lovely day, right? Yeah, I'm pretty good. How are you? They're like, are you okay? It's Tuesday.
Yeah, I don't have any metal against my leg or anything. Yeah. Ooh, feels great.
Why are you breathing?
He's bold enough to be able to walk up to the king and be like, I got a special message. And the king's like, everybody get out. And so Ehud's like, do you mind if I lock the door?
Again, time, even like with that faith, I would have still been the whole time, I'm going to screw it up. So I would have been like, I got something for you. Hey, Eglon.
Yeah.
I got something for you. I wanted to show you my latest cutlery's by Ehud.
I've got some knives I want to sell. Would you like to buy some knives?
You're
the first
really like it.
Knife salesman.
Oh, the whole time he's like, oh, I'm going to throw up. That would have been me. That would have been me as Ehud.
Yeah.
But he had, obviously, he had to walk in there with a boldness and an almost, to me, it's almost like this arrogance. But it's not arrogance. It's just like this confidence level. Because he walks in there, never questioned at all. And you don't, your question, to me, I feel like you'll be questioned so much more if you don't have that level of confidence in the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
When you have that level of confidence in the Lord, when you know you're doing exactly what God's called you to do, there ain't nothing on this planet that's going to stop you from doing it. It's like, God already told me.
So it's as good as done.
I remember
going to go through and do it.
A story our dad told us once where he was following a car and the bumper sticker says, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And he said he was going to follow them. I don't think he actually did. We were small kids. He may have. He was insane. He said that he was like, I'm tempted to follow them and just take a black magic marker and just etch out the middle part. Because he says, right. God said it. That settled it.
Whether I believe it or not.
It makes no difference if I believe it or not, because God already said it.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not we follow through with it, because Ehud could have been like, hey, you know what? I'm left-handed. That's all I got to offer. I'm good. And God's like, right. But I'm going to use you because you're left-handed.
Right. And think about it. If left-handed really is like a form of, if that text is a form of like a disability, most of us would say, well, I can't, like for me, for instance, all through school, I couldn't read. Like I just could not read. I can read now. Yeah, a little.
Proud of you.
Thanks. I could not. I could read words. Have you ever seen the New Girl episode where Nick says, "I don't know if I learned how to read, but I've memorized a lot of words." I've memorized a lot of words. I don't know if I could actually read or not. I just memorized a bunch of words. I mean, it was always so hard for me to read. I could not retain what I read. I just couldn't. I would read a story about a boy and a frisbee and a dog, and somebody would ask me, you know, what'd you read? And I'm like, I don't know.
I'm intrigued about this story.
Tell me more.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But I remember I could not comprehend anything. And now I just about read for a living.
Yeah.
And it's not that.
Yeah. Because the church doesn't want to hear what you have to say.
No, at all.
I don't.
Nobody does. I don't want to hear what I have to say. I want to know what the Lord says, what the Bible says, I read a bunch of commentaries and a bunch of, different resources. I read all the time now. And the Lord, I won't say it wasn't some magical moment where I woke up and I was like, oh, I can read now. It was just like,
I can read today.
Today's the day I'm going to start reading. But God just worked through now I think that what he did was he, I heard the comedy of Michael Jr. Have you ever heard of his comedy?
Yes. He's awesome.
He's hilarious. He makes a statement. He had struggled reading as a kid. And he said, so whenever he would see a word, he would find like 8 different ways to figure out what that word meant. And that's what I did. That's like my story. Like I had to figure out, okay, what does this word mean in this phrase, in this thing? I don't know. So I got to figure it out somehow. I would like read body language of people. I'd read tone. I would read, different places in the text. And it's caused me now to be able to see things from a different light. And God used what was a struggle for me and made it my strength. Same thing he did with Ehud. Like he took his struggle and made it his strength. That's what God is doing in all of us.
Yeah.
And we're just...
And it doesn't have to be an extreme.
Right.
It can be something like I don't really do well with reading.
Right.
So, this could be it. I think of David Ring.
David Ring with cerebral palsy.
Yes. He got in front. He would get in front. He would go, evangelist. Go out there and spread the gospel like crazy.
Yes.
And I think one of his sayings was, I have cerebral palsy. What's your problem?
What's your problem? Yeah, it was.
What's your problem? And he is the one that spoke at a youth evangelism conference with cerebral. Like, he could have said, I have this. Mm-hmm. I can't do anything for the glory of God.
Right.
But because he was willing to take that step and go and do this, our dad got saved.
Yep. He was there that night.
He was there
the
night.
One of the nights he preached, yeah.
And he said, that just sit here in that. And he came and actually spoke at our church years later. And I was like, man, this story of a man who could have easily said, I can't do it.
Yeah. I have limitations.
I have limitations. And God's like, what you call limitations, I call fuel.
Yeah.
For the kingdom.
Opportunities for his glory. That's, Paul says, in my weakness, be made strong. Like he's made strong in my weakness.
Why do we not think he can do that? He does that.
I don't know.
He did it all throughout scripture.
All throughout the Bible.
They're not saying Ehud's left-handed
and now,
like as a brag.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Ehud, he was the Superman that had left-handed powers. Yeah. No, I think that's the question today of how in the world do we still use excuses whenever God's trying to do something.
Yeah, and all the time you're thinking, I have this shortcoming. He's like, I know, I made you that way for a reason.
Yeah, well, and I think I heard...
Paul couldn't speak.
I heard a pastor...
No, Paul, Moses couldn't speak. Paul could speak. Paul's pretty good at speaking.
Paul talks a lot.
That's why he shut Paul up and had him write.
Yeah, right. I think there was a... oh, goodness, where my train of thought
you're welcome.
Derailed. Hang on 1 second. I'll find it. It's coming back. I heard a preacher one time say that the reason God uses weaknesses is so that you don't take his glory away.
Ooh.
Because if you use your strength, you're going to say, well, yeah, I mean, I'm obviously good. So that's why this happened. That's why God chose me, because I'm really good at this. It's like, actually, God chose me because I'm really bad at that, and he wants to be the one getting all the glory. So,
yeah, and if I think it's an experience in God. If you can explain something, then God's not going to get the full glory for it.
Yeah.
So if you're living your life with that level of confidence and showing that and saying, this is happening in spite of me.
Right.
Like, and that's basically my entire existence.
This is happening with me trying to tear it down.
That's why, again, I can relate so much to Ehud, because I'm like, it's like, what can you, I've been asked before, like, I'm going for job interviews, like back in the day, they're like, what do you bring to the table? I'm like, literally nothing.
Yeah. I can make you laugh.
I'll try my best to make you laugh. I can sit in a seat. I'll make sure the seat doesn't float away. Yeah. That's what I can bring.
That's what I got. So if we want to encourage anybody today, we would say,
bye.
Oh, we would say, Ehud was left-handed. What's your problem?
Yeah. Oh, that makes it sound like people who are left-handed are bad.
Have problems.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of left-handed people like trying to use their mouse over here and just click off of us right now. I mean, the world's built for right-handed people. It really is.
It is.
I feel bad for left-handers.
It is. Did you brush your teeth with your left hand?
I did. I realized something. First, my daughter is left-handed, so I was like, you need to do it right-handed. A lot of people who are left-handed can do things right-handed.
Right. Yes.
So she's like, Dad, this is easy. And I'm like, shut up. So I grab my toothbrush. I realize when I'm brushing with my right hand, it's like this. You know, you're doing this. Yeah. Left-handed, I don't move my hand. I'm sitting there. I put my toothbrush up with my giant toothbrush. And I'm like, yeah. The whole time, I'm like.
I want to encourage everybody today.
Brush your teeth left-handed.
Brush your teeth left-handed. Whatever day you're listening to this, do it for a couple of days. Do it for a couple of days. Brush your teeth left-handed if you're right-handed.
If you're right-handed.
If you're left-handed, this episode's not for you.
Don't watch it. Now that you've already gotten to the end.
Yeah.
Don't watch it. But that is something. Do something that you normally do right-handed. Do it left-handed again, or your non-dominant hand.
Yeah, non-dominant hand.
And as you're doing it, think about Ehud.
Yes. And remember, a little bit of obedience can free a nation.
And stab a fat guy.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Heaven's left-handed hitman.
That's what he is.
That's who Ehud is. Congratulations. You made it to the end of this episode.
I do declare you made it to the end of the episode.
If you laughed, cried, confessed something accidentally, or now need to call your therapist, you are an official Thunder Buddy. As we close, our commissioning is always the same, and it's so simple. May your joy be louder than your inner Pharisee. I'm sorry. May your joy be loud enough to scare your inner Pharisee. The Thunder left us a microphone, and for reasons heaven refuses to explain, we're still using it. This has been the Sons of Thunder podcast, where the forecast is always 100% chance of laughter with a side of emotional damage.
Bye!